Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. My honored guest today is Carrie Lewis. Carrie Lewis runs Awake California, which is a group on Facebook, extremely popular. And the name of this show is California Forced Vaccinations. Let the lawsuits begin. So she's going to tell us about the lawsuit that's transpiring right now as a pushback to the SB 277 bill that was passed there, which has enraged the entire world, the removal of exemptions to attend school. I would like to say before I pick Carrie up that August 1st, we are kicking off a three-month effort. It's called it's called National Moratorium on Vaccination Now. And this was talked about by many people. But I did go to Washington and request that the National Vaccine Advisory Committee recommend a national moratorium on vaccination with a brilliant script from Dr. Vera Scheibner, which I hope you will look at. Under the screen, it's my blog, so please do look at that. So we are activating and it will run through the end of Vaccine Injury Awareness Month of October, and I hope everybody will participate, and I will give you instructions how to if you wish to. So Carrie Lewis is going to help me, and I really appreciate that, and I'm going to pick her up right now. Hi, Carrie Lewis.
Hi, Sally. Hi, Sally. Well, it's great to be here with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. It's been a long time. Our last interview was just dynamic. I really loved that interview. And I also want to commend you on running one of the most important one of the most important groups on Facebook, Awake California, which basically came about just as all of this SB 277 madness came about, and you have really done a spectacular job. I told you that personally, but I want to say it for the world to hear me.
Thank you, Sally.
Tell us what has transpired and what you're doing about it. Carrie Lewis.
Well, you inspired me. I got to say thank you to you first. Your longtime activism in this alone, by the way, with not hardly any help in New York, is just amazing, and want to, you know, tilt my hat to you because what you've done is amazing. And you've inspired me here in California because California is a mess right now. But we have good news because we have this great lawsuit that we've been able to kind of hide behind the scenes of what's going on with it. And so they've kind of had cover to put together this this amazing lawsuit that we've got lead attorneys on it, we call him Jim Turner. He's the lead attorney on this, and he's been a national vaccine injury attorney for a long time. You know that. You probably know Jim Turner, Sally.
I'll be honest, he's from California, so I was not aware of him until now. So, sorry.
He's actually from D.C. He's actually out of Washington, D.C.
Oh, I know who Jim Turner is. He's an elderly gentleman,
yes.
I really would love to interview him. Tell him that Alfred Lambermont Weber, a long time ago, recommended I interview Jim Turner, and I actually did write to him. So, one day, I hope to interview
Him. Yeah,
definitely. Okay, cheers.
Definitely.
Okay, go ahead.
He's the lead attorney on this, so he's awesome. And then we have a woman, Betsy E. Lehrfeld. She is in California, and she is on this with Swankin. And I think Jim Turner's with the Swankin and Turner. He's out of the Washington, D.C. area. But so he had to have the California attorneys on his team so that they could go forth with the lawsuit here in California. And it is a federal lawsuit, and they are trying to file an injunction basically to stop the law in its tracks. So that's interesting too, because it's huge. It's difficult to get an injunction, but we have 16 causes of claims of relief that we're asking for, or they're asking for. But I say we because, you know, California activists, we're all rooting for this. This is such a big deal.
I know just what you're talking about. You feel it as if it were you personally, sure.
Yes, yes, even though it's not. And I'm so grateful. I mean, there's 21 plaintiffs in the case. I am so grateful to every single one of them. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this is such a huge, huge
deal.
This
injunction could not go forward without plaintiffs. You have to be someone who is affected by this law in order to proceed.
Right.
So these are 21 people all affected by this law.
Yes, and we actually have some nonprofit plaintiffs that are also in the cavalry. So we've got Sally Fallon from the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Yay!
And then, yeah, that's a big deal. And then we also have the Alliance for Natural Health also, which is an army unto itself, as one of the nonprofit plaintiffs. So, I mean, this is these groups are very real and very large and very active. So it's exciting, you know, that these people are here. I mean, I work with Tim Bolin with the Bolin Report, and he's done an amazing analysis of the lawsuit and the all the intricacies of it. That's his specialty. He sets up lawsuits for and protects health freedom. And so we
now,
just got
let
an
me
amazing.
Just tell the, let me just tell the listening audience that there is a live link from Tim Bolin underneath the screen of this interview. There are two additional ones that Carrie Lewis is going to add to the comment area if you scroll down. So you'll see one live link and then two more when you scroll down. Okay, go ahead.
Right, and then I'll put the link directly with the – we have a bio of the judge as well that's handling the case. She is a conservative judge, which, you know, we've had some luck with some of the conservatives in California on, you know, on the Republican side with being on our side and trying to protect the
right
parents.
The only Republicans. Were there any Democrats who voted against this bill? I would like to congratulate them at this point.
Right. Within the committees, we had a couple that abstained. There was one in the committee out of, I believe, San Bernardino County. He's a general. He was a Democrat that actually was against it, but not too many. It was strongly, strongly, strongly a partisan a partisan vote. I mean, the Democratic Convention last year voted to include vaccine mandates as part of their party platform here in California. So even with all of the protests going outside, which I happened to be there too, we had about 1,000 people outside with signs, Sally, protesting that they were doing this, and they still did it. And even, you know, we had I mean, it's crazy. I had a nurse come up to me asking, you know, telling me how awful it was. You know, she works in the NICU and with the preemie babies. And I actually confronted her and asked her if she had ever had, you know, experienced when they give the vaccine, how they have to roll up the resuscitation units first, because usually once they administer the vaccines, the babies stop breathing and then they have to, you know, resuscitate the babies. So I had asked her if she experienced this, and she stopped off. So, you know, people knew that we were very upset. And also, inside, there were actually people in the actual Democratic Party that had vaccine-injured children. Nicole Crosby was one lady, and she was heavily involved in the Democratic Party and even tried to get people to listen and hear her stories and everything. But you know, I think from what I understand what happened in there, there was quite a few people that were against taking that on as their platform, party platform, but the money, you know, the pharma money and the pharmaceutical companies, and Richard Pan, of course, Senator Richard Pan was there to you know, I want to put it in the, you know, with finger quotes, that he was there to persuade people to vote to take on this platform for the Democratic Party.
I don't know, but anyway, you just saw the DNC chair that just stepped down. She has left with this remark: any risk from childhood vaccines is disproven. I mean, this is her parting statement. Ah,
right. That's how bad this is. That's how corrupt and how crazy. They're really, you know, they're really trying to get the propaganda out there thick now. And I think there's fear on that side. You know, they're afraid. A lot of people are waking up now. They're seeing what's going on. And this all backfired on them, by the way, by bringing in all this law. It really shined a light on all the corruption here in California with the health departments. And that's why the Santa Barbara Health Department is included in this lawsuit. Dr. Chastity Dean took it upon herself to scrutinize the medical exemptions that were coming in her county, to look at doctors that were giving them and basically judge if there were bogus medical exemptions or not. I mean, this is above the law. This is somebody operating above the law that has no regard for it. Is they have an agenda and they're just going to steamroll past all the law. Forget the law. Let's just go ahead and violate everybody's rights and do whatever we want. So this doctor, Charity Dean, is also named in the lawsuit as an individual defendant, but also the Santa Barbara Health Department as well, because of the, you know, of setting these illegal witch hunt for these doctors, you know, over these medical exemptions. So Marin County, which is interesting, was trying to also, the health department there was also trying to do this, which is interesting because that particular county is where Rhett Kraut's family lives, and he was the, on the pro-vaccine side, he was the poster boy for Pro-SB 277. He was the cancer child, the Rhett Kraut. I don't know if you remember. But they were postering up all over saying he cannot be vaccinated, so he needs to be safe. Interesting enough, this particular family, the grandfather is on the board, I think, at GlaxoSmithKline. So, I mean, but this is the county that they're trying to do this in, Marin. So it's interesting that these are trying to be put in place where these people are heavily have heavy influence. Also, Senator Pam's district, Sacramento County, the health department there was also trying to scrutinize medical exemptions and take it upon themselves to review medical exemptions given within the county at the schools.
Within the county, so at a local level, right?
Yes.
I want everybody who's listening to pay close attention to this. There's a quote-unquote nonprofit organization called NACHO, N-A-C-C-H-O, and they are infiltrating all of our local health departments and trying
right.
to empower them and unempower our legislators. So
right.
this is very sneaky, very backdoor, and I will put a link about that in the comment area underneath the show.
Oh, good.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, yes, because NACHO, they call them NACHO for short, but that is a CDC front group. So they are getting funding from the CDC to do this. So it's all top-down stuff, Sally. But, you know, this is all included in the lawsuit. So, you know, these are very big charges, and we, you know, we expect to go to the Supreme Court, we do, because so many violations. Of rights being
so they can remind
being involved here
that they're unavoidably unsafe, and instead of
right.
the conclusion of banning them as a result, they forgive the drug companies. To me, if you ever want to know how screwy our system can be, is to say they're unavoidably unsafe and not ban them, but instead lift the liability from the drug companies. This is
right,
the best
it's criminal
I can think of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's criminal what they're doing. I mean, they're causing death. They're causing unspeakable harm to children and adults. You know, it's interesting because Dr. Richard Pan even had a flu shot victim in his campaign. The callousness of all of this, you know, around it, somebody that helped him win his campaign and ended up.
Oh, we're talking about John Burchelli?
Yes.
John Burchelli?
Yes, John Burchelli.
Right.
And
has he visited him since he has gotten Guillain-Barré from the vaccine?
No.
He volunteered for him for years, but he can't spare time to go visit the man.
Yeah, and Pam knows all about it. I mean, we've blown it up. I mean, he can't not know about John Burchelli. He's been all over YouTube.
Right.
He's been all over the news, and we posted it in our groups, and Pam knows. Pam knows that this guy was injured by the flu vaccine, you know? But he keeps touting the party line that vaccines are safe and effective. I mean, you know, just blatant, bold-faced lies that this man does, you know. But this is part of it. This has all gone through the state of California. I mean, we've had such crazy things. We've got, you know, the school districts refusing access to education for people because not everybody decided that they should get the PBE or get the medical exemption. Some people have decided that they're just going to send their kids to school and see what happens. So now, you know, not only do we have this huge lawsuit here, but we also are going to, I believe, we're going to see a lot of individual lawsuits popping up against the school districts and, you know, and individuals that would deny a child education under the premise. Because, you know, religious freedom, you know, all of these things are being violated, personal freedoms, medical rights, parental rights, all kinds of things are being violated. So it's going to get interesting here.
Right? Right. Well, I just sent you an article, which you have the correct response to, about a woman who was pulled over in her car for a busted taillight or something, and they checked her son's vaccination record while they did that.
Yeah.
They found that he was behind on a booster shot for the MMR, and this child wound up in jail. So please bring this to Jim Turner's attention, if you will. This is
I will. I mean, that's insane. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Wasn't that a long time ago that happened, too? So,
no,
I mean, this has been happening.
Recent, as far as I know, this recent.
Okay, we'll check into the time frame. But I know all of this stuff has been going on a long time. It's getting worse. It's getting a lot worse because they're really, I mean, you know, mandating the adults are next. So, I mean, they're trying to get the kids first. The kids are easier. But you know, I don't think they expected the pushback that they're getting. In California, there were so many people. I can't believe that they were stupid enough to actually pass the law considering how many people were so against it. I mean, that's just, you know, blatant disregard for the people. And if there was any question, that's what I'm saying. This all really has shown a light on the corruption of California and how bad it's gotten. You know, and all the special interest groups that own the state, basically, and of course the pharmaceutical companies, they own our government, our federal government. So, of course, they own California. And I know California was a big feather in their cap as far as trying to get these vaccine mandates, you know, to go federal because they want every state.
Well,
they want to do this everywhere.
Well, I have to tell you, this is kind of really important because there was no law passed. So nobody knows it's happening. In New York State, they're trying to pass a bill like SB 277 that would affect the state. But in New York City, it is so difficult to get a religious exemption that the people who help people get religious exemptions are complaining. So there's no law passed here. But if they can test your religious sincerity, and mind you, these are not priests, rabbis, and imams. These are just people with inflated salaries who are there to prevent people from getting their exemptions. So it's as if SB 277 had been passed for New York City. Now, this is a city of 8 million people. I don't know exactly how many million that would affect. But this is, you
right.
know, nobody knows about it because there was no law passed, but they're pulling it off.
Right. Well, the good news about this lawsuit is it's a federal lawsuit, so it would affect all. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it would affect every state. And it would stop them from doing these, you know, where they're taking on new roles that they're not legally able to have by enforcing these things. These are illegal things that they're doing. You know, they're not
I would tell you that the only Supreme Court judges who voted against the liability being lifted were Ginsburg and Sotomayor, just the two women on the Supreme
Court
are the only ones who voted that down.
Right.
So,
right.
letting you know, we do have friends there, but they're wildly outvoted, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, that is a
of
concern
course.
Because, you know, of course it is. You know, this is one of – it's a big deal. This is you know, this case is huge. So, I mean, but I think it's the only avenue at this point. I mean, they've got so many, so much reach and so much power and pull with their money that they are doing so many illegal things. I mean, we have to do something to stop it. I mean, if this doesn't work, you know, God help them, because they're going to have a lot of unhappy people.
Well, they've been getting away with "that's my lie and I'm sticking to it" for a century.
Right.
That's my lie
right.
and I'm sticking to it.
Right, right. But it's hard for them now with the internet and with social media and, you know, getting, you know, keeping it contained, the lie contained, is very difficult for them now. You know, we have different ways of communicating. You know, they basically have a monopoly on the mainstream media, a monopoly on the, you know, the commercial content. 70% of the of all commercials now in the mainstream, you know, market are pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, this is the way they control the messaging that goes out, is that, you know, the media does not want to piss off their huge, huge, you know, advertising donors, basically. So they're controlled that way. So they're not going to put anything out there that's going to piss off their donors. So,
well,
you know,
I would like to ask a huge question of the insurance companies at this point, because if unvaccinated children are vastly healthier than the vaccinated children, why aren't the insurance companies fighting with us?
Right.
I think State Farm tried to in hiring Rob Schneider. I don't think that was a mistake on their part.
Right.
I think they had to withdraw because, you know, people weren't awake enough to support it. But,
right.
you know, there's going to come a time, unless the insurance companies are all owned by the pharmaceutical industry, if I were an insurance company, I would be going to the mat to try to prevent this law or to undo it. I'd be funding this lawsuit.
Well, and then that's the thing. The pharmaceutical companies are giving incentives to the insurance companies to make sure that all their patients are vaccinated. Yes. So the insurance companies are making money and getting paid. And then, in turn, the insurance companies are paying the doctors bonuses for having a certain percentage of their practice vaccinated, which usually is 100% or close to it.
So then they're
so the doctors,
controlled by the pharmaceuticals. Well, but I mean, not just the doctors, but the insurance companies themselves. So,
yep.
And that's
absolutely.
Why, you know, when you look at your insurance, you're like, wow, I'm paying all this money and it covers nothing. This is amazing.
Right.
How can this much money be paid and it covers nothing?
Nothing. You still have to pay out of pocket quite a bit. I mean, you don't really even get – it's sort of crazy.
Certainly doesn't cover anything that would reverse a child's injury from vaccines. Certainly doesn't cover that.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's – well, we have a problem with the insurance companies. One of the problems with giving over – healthcare to big corporations is that they can be easily handled and bribed. They can be easily led with money. So I think, you know, I think I've always thought that the insurance companies should be out of healthcare, because I think it made it more expensive, you know, the health care. I think that they, you know, what a lot of groups have done, the Christians did this, it's interesting, they have a gift health care where they all, you know, it's like having a group of people, everybody puts in money and pays, and then the, you know, the money covers all the catastrophic injuries. So that way you could have groups of people that do this. You know, it doesn't have to be Christians. It can be any group, but where they go in a collaborative and they create their own, you know, but this was allowed in the Obamacare for the Christians to do this too. You know, basically, it's called like a gift health service. So people can get alternative care than just the government health care because it is hard. But that's the thing. These big corporations can be led with money. I think anytime you have the option or the opportunity where people can be bribed and coerced through money, I think that's where things get dangerous. And I think that's what has brought us here. Is that we, you know, there's just too much money involved for these people to tell the truth.
Well, I can attest to that because every useful store on our main street has been replaced by a bank or an urgent care facility or a,
mm-hmm.
you know, huge pediatrician's office. Certainly drug stores are everywhere. Where can you get a
mm-hmm.
slice of pizza? That's what I want to know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just money corrupts, you know? I mean, it does. And that's what we've got going here. We've got so much money involved in the pharmaceutical companies. They're really becoming a drain on society because there's so much money involved in drugging people that, you know, it's just criminal and it's catastrophic and it's just, it's amazing to me that people are so easily led, but from the beginning, when kids are little, they're taught to obey the doctor, you know, all the indoctrination that happens in the school system, and everybody's taught that the doctor's the expert, the doctor knows what he's doing, but then come to find out, you know, when you interview doctors about how much they learned in pharmaceutical school about vaccinations, and it's hardly anything. They learn about administration, but they don't learn about the ingredients. And they certainly don't learn about adverse reactions.
So,
you know,
learn
there's just
to deny them. They do learn to deny them. This is
that's
what
true.
Said to me. If you're being taught to deny an adverse reaction, I mean,
right,
you should drop out that minute. I think that if we could forgive all, because to get through medical school is hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is not a joke.
Right.
I know somebody who's in the hole $300,000 before they figured
right.
out that they were in a criminal enterprise. So if we
mm-hmm.
could, if we could forgive the healthcare workers their loans, at least they would not be thrown under the bus if they, you know, because even if you claim bankruptcy, you still owe your school loans. So
yeah,
you
can't get out of that.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
To do the right thing would cost them everything.
I know.
So, I mean, beyond
that's why it's so hard. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so difficult. These people need to live to have a livelihood. And I know probably what happens, they get in and then they see if they do start recognizing adverse reactions. You know, they're told that it's rare. They're told that it's very rare. And so maybe if they do see it, you know, they just think, well,
they're
I'm sorry this happened.
To say it's anything else. But the vaccine,
right?
It's anything,
right?
So you could actually
right.
say, it's, you know, does your son play basketball? Well, the leather of the basketball is probably what's causing this, you know,
right? Right. It's
say,
never the vaccine.
What's,
yeah.
what's today's cause of autism? Bacon, you know.
Yeah,
bacon.
That's true.
It's gotta be the bacon.
And that's the thing, and our federal government has acknowledged it. I mean, we wouldn't have the vaccine court if there weren't so many injuries. I mean, the whole reason that they gave them liability, made them liability free, the vaccines, where they don't get sued, is because there were too many adverse reactions and injuries happening with the swine flu vaccine, and the vaccine manufacturers threatened to stop making vaccines because their vaccines were so injurious.
So right, so instead of everybody going, yay, we accept your threat, yay.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So,
your threat is a blessing.
You know, I mean, people
I want to ask you, I want to get back to this suit because I want to know what stage it's at. So, like, where are you at?
We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
So we had, it was filed July 1st. And we had a little bit of a setback. We were trying to get the injection. It's okay. It's normal. It's a normal setback. But we had what's called a TRO, which is basically trying to get the injection in place really quickly. We were trying to do that, but we could not file till July 1st because July 1st is when the law went into effect, and you cannot file, like you said before, until there's actually an injury or a wrongdoing that has occurred, which is when the law actually came into.
Well, not actually. You just have to be someone who is of the right age, you know, someone who would be affected by it. You don't have to already be injured.
Well,
just
no, you don't have to already be, but the law, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, is that the law didn't go into effect where they were being affected by it until July 1st, so that's when they filed. So that's how they got all the plaintiffs. So, yeah. So, basically, the injunction was requiring a cease and desist for the law. So the TRO is the temporary restraining order. And basically they said they denied it initially because the judge wanted to give a chance for the defendants to get legal representation because they did an ex parte type of lawsuit, which means that they did not have to inform the defendants at first. So they caught them off guard and they caught them by surprise, which is really nice. Now they have 20 days to respond. Yeah. So now they have 20 days to respond from that time. And from what I understand right now, only one person has legal representation, but they've all been served. So they've all been served. So we're just waiting on them. But so basically the preliminary injunction hearing was postponed to allow for the attorneys on both sides to talk to each other, get all this straightened out. And then also the judge wanted more information as far as the rights being violated and everything, more in depth. So it had been the preliminary injunction hearing date has been scheduled for August 12th in San Diego, and it's at 1:30 p.m. And we are actually trying to get thousands of people on the courthouse steps for this hearing, because we're going to bring press in. We want to get all kinds of attention around this lawsuit and what's going on.
Say that again. August 12th at what time?
August 12th at 1:30 p.m. at the Federal Court Building in San Diego, California, and the courtroom number is 13A. But we're trying to get as thousands of people to show up. We just want as many as we can to let the world
get
know.
There early so that I would get there early, as many people as there can be early, so as they enter the courthouse, they will see throngs of people.
Yes,
because they won't know what's going on outside they're inside.
Right. The hearing's at 1:30, so I'm thinking we'll probably meet up around 11, and that way we can be there nice and early, 11 a.m., so... But I agree with you. We need to be there early. But I know I'm reading off my notes right now about the times and stuff. But we want to make sure we just get as many people there as we can with banners and signs about people's rights being taken away and everything, because this is such a violation of human rights, you know, informed consent. I mean, this is America, people. So, you know,
well,
as many
I've always
as we can
said
get.
That it's a crime just to offer a child poison, you know, and
yes.
I think that eventually this is going, you know, as I say, it's a century of deceit, and
mm-hmm.
they, you know, that's their lie and they're sticking to it. But we just have to say your lies aren't accessible. How dare you poison our children? Because this
right.
is, you know, it's homicide, it's genocide, it's, you know,
yeah,
it's all these things. All these babies are dying and nobody's reporting it. It doesn't mean that it's not happening.
Right. Just because they deny it. Yeah, it does not mean that it's not happening. I mean, we've got people, you know, we it's sad. I mean, we hear about these children every single day. There, it seems like there's a new baby that's passed away from the vaccines or the parents didn't realize what was going on. Or even older children now because, you know, they're pushing all these vaccines. I mean, that's what I'm afraid, you know, I'm nervous about this law because there are people that have said they can't afford to homeschool. They can't, you know, they can't afford alternative childcare. They feel they have to vaccinate. They feel they have no choice. They feel that they can't afford a medical exemption even because some of these people are on, you know, public assistance. Some people are on just very tight budgets in this economy. And a medical exemption is not cheap. I mean, you have to pay cash for it. So, I mean, a lot of these doctors, you know, I know that they're not trying to gouge or anything. They're trying to help people, but they've got to make a living too, and they're not getting paid by insurance companies. So, you know, a lot of people can't afford this. So there are people that I've even seen online that have said, you know, well, how do I do this? I'm really scared my child's going to get hurt, but I'm going to vaccinate because, you know, I need to have my kid in school because I work and I'm a single parent or – you know, or a budget.
Yeah,
can't.
When,
you're barely surviving.
When they overturned the flu shot here for the youngest, that was never legislated, okay, just a bunch of appointees in the health department or from at the health department appointed
mm-hmm.
by Mayor Bloomberg, who his last act before leaving his illegal third term was to mandate these flu shots. And so
right.
11 or 14 people voted that that's the way it should go. Only one doctor was allowed to speak, and he told half-truths, which are lies. And
right.
So this is how it went down. We overturned it through, you know, five parents. And I'm telling everybody, it's still overturned, so do not give your child the flu shot if you don't have an exemption,
right.
which go to vaclib.org. It has exemptions, how you can get them in every state. But in New York City,
right.
as I say, it's so difficult. Anyway, so when they were overturned,
yeah,
I stopped this woman with a stroller in the street, and I said, the flu shot mandate's been overturned. And she burst into tears.
Good.
She said, well, aww. I just came from the school, and they told me I couldn't leave my child in daycare. I'm a single mother, and
wow.
I have no options. I said, it was overturned 5 days ago. And she's
mm-hmm.
like, you just told me right now I had to vaccinate. So I called the health department.
Wow.
And I said, why
Good.
Aren't you informing the schools? And by the way, do you know what the charges are? A lot of things, because there are a lot of parallels that I'm going to get to with California. But I said, you know, why aren't you telling the schools? Well, we don't agree with it. I said, but it's the law. Isn't that the whole point? This is now the law, you know?
Right.
But let me tell you what person who represented a daycare center who was the health person for that, you know, she's the one who sent all the letters home reminding them to get their shot and this additional
mm-hmm.
flu shot. She said,
mm-hmm.
First of all, she said basically they were going to charge them $1,000 per day per child.
Wow.
$1,000 per day per child. Who is unvaccinated.
Wow. See, this is what's been happening. I mean, they've been, and not only that, they've been bribing children with pizza, free pizza and pizza parties here, to try to get them caught up on their vaccines and everything. And no mention of a medical exemption available. Nothing.
That's another issue. So that's another issue. Your child has to be bedridden and unable to go to school to get a medical exemption from what I can see
right.
in California.
They're going by the pink book, the CDC pink book. A lot of the doctors are so afraid, even though the California legislature in the law it's written that they do have some opportunities to make their own calls. Yes, to make their own judgment, basically, on whether a child should have a medical exemption. The doctors are so scared. Most of them are going off the CDC pink book, contraindications, which is hardly anything for vaccination. So this is, I mean, these people are afraid. These medical doctors are bullied. I believe they're being bullied. I mean, the ones especially that would sign off on a medical exemption in the first place. I mean, the county health departments were trying to collect names on these people. So this is definitely
Do we know of any arrests and jail time for daycare workers who did not get, what was that, SB?
Oh, 792. Yeah, 792.
Right.
SB 792.
Do we know anything
that was
about
for the
that?
Daycare workers. Not yet. We haven't heard anything. But we have also analyzed the law, and it's very difficult to comply with that law because they're only requiring, you know, the one vaccine, and you can only get it in the three, the MMR, the three shot. So you can't even do – you can't even comply with that part of the law. And I do think that there's going to be lawsuits on this too, because, you know, this is the problem is people don't know yet. Until they start having their businesses shut down or people coming to check on them, or, you know, then I think it's going to get ugly. But I think definitely around SB 792, there's going to have to be lawsuits as well with the daycare workers. And I'm not sure how long it's going to take for these people to see what's going on with the daycares. Because I know a lot of people, they're requiring the flu shot. And I know a lot of people don't like that flu shot. So this will get it. This is going to get interesting.
Another issue is that, as with the flu shots that were mandated here, in the act, it said, and any additional vaccine which may be required. Doesn't it say that
in
27 somewhere? This
it
is
does.
Wildly dangerous.
It does. Now, you do have the option, as it's written currently, to get a PBE for any additional vaccine that they require. But, you know, that could be easily changed. Once they add that vaccine, they could change that. They could say, okay, this is part of the law now, and this also, we're taking away the PBE for this vaccine. You know, so I don't, for what they did, how they rammed this through, and how egregious with so many thousands of people not wanting this to happen, I don't trust them at all that they wouldn't push that through, even though the law currently says you can have a PBE for those.
I want to warn you about something. In Oregon, they did not get this law through, but the woman who had proposed it said that she's going to come back next time requiring titers for each and every vaccine. What I need to tell you before we go off the air is I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to who've had, let's just take the MMR, okay, but it would apply to all vaccines. One vaccine, three boosters, and no titers. No titers. This initially I thought of as a big, you know, moneymaker for the pharmaceutical company, but this is what she's going to do because she couldn't pull off the other thing. So just be aware of that.
Okay. Yeah, good to note that.
So,
I mean, that could come up eventually, you know.
We're going to cut off very shortly. I just want to thank you, Carrie Lewis, for being at the forefront of organizing and activating and being active yourself and, you know, working with people harmoniously in this very, very tenuous and difficult and emotionally raging time, you know. So good for you, Carrie Lewis of Awake California.
Thank you, Sally. Same to you. You're amazing. Thank you for everything.
Okay, dear. Well, we'll talk again. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.